The Metropolitan thunders headlong through the tunnel, spewing smoke and churning up dust. Roaring towards King's Cross, it passes a series of peculiar alcoves, lit by solitary yellow lamps, the haunt of subterranean railwaymen who loiter in their man-made hollows. They are waiting for the last train, these slouching shadows with flashing white eyes, waiting until they can begin their nightly work upon the tracks.
"Almost on time, Bill," remarks one to another.
"I reckon," says his comrade Durley.
The Metropolitan hurtles onward, station to station, burrowing beneath the new road, undermining the trade of the humble hackney carriage and omnibus, quite oblivious to the slow and weary tread of pedestrians who tramp the street above. For some of them, the price of a return ticket is simply unattainable. For others, the Underground Railway retains a demonic aspect, and many swear that they would rather brave the worst of London's winter than descend into a man-made pit.
"No matter," says the railway man at work below their feet. He never pays no heed to such ignorance from the surface dwellers, though he readily admits the train goes like the devil, vomiting smoke from the throat of its funnel, spewing burning ash that rises like bile and sparks against smoke-blackened bricks.
At least, he says, the railway pays good wages, and it keeps you warm and dry and goes double quick to where it must go. In point of fact, he says, the Metropolitan goes as fast as a man may safely travel without endangering his health. True, he finds that no one nowadays is much impressed by the facts or figures, and new lines are being planned to here, there, and everywhere. But this line will remain the oldest, and therefore the most famous by far. This is the Metropolitan line. And this is the last train of the day. Who takes the last train? Let us take a look at the rear compartment, designated second class. Scattered upon cloth-covered benches, a thin, uncompromising layer of cloth, mind you, sit half a dozen private persons, whose means or inclination do not encourage them to pay a sixpence for the well-padded privileges of first. In one corner there is a young girl, a pretty but rather shabby creature, with red hair tied up clumsily with a single ribbon. She lies slumped to sleep, her head against the wall. In truth, she is rather too shabby, her shawl too threadbare and frayed even for second. All the same, some of her fellow passengers quite envy her. At the very least, she need not affect to read the advertisements that have been pasted to the walls of the carriage, whereas for most railway travellers there is a positive obligation to cultivate such distractions.